We're continuing our series on false philosophies, and what we're covering in this sermon is atheism, okay? And attached with atheism is the idea of no rules, because if there is no God, there is no right and wrong, okay? We have a standard of what's right and wrong, but if there is no God, there is no absolute what's right and what's wrong. We have to have a standard, okay? Now, when we're talking about atheism, though, I do want to explain before we go into this sermon, because we need to understand there's two types of atheists, okay? So go to Titus 3. We'll go back to Psalm 14 in a second, Titus chapter 3. And I think this is something that's kind of hard for us to understand in a westernized culture where everybody believes in God. But there are many countries in this world, all over Asia, where a large percentage of people do not believe in God. I mean, if you went to China, many people would tell you that they do not believe in God. Does that mean that every single one of those people is a bad person? No, it doesn't, okay? It means they're being brainwashed by false teachings, okay? But we need to understand the distinction, because I would say, you know, as the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart there is no God, but I want to show you here in Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, okay? And so Paul's basically referencing people that are saved. We were foolish, okay? Disobedient, which I believe is applying to not obeying the gospel, okay? Disobedient, deceived, meaning you were believing in a false religion, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So I want you to realize, whatever your religion was before you were saved, it was foolish. Look, Catholicism is foolish. Protestantism, which I grew up Protestant, is foolish. Right? Mormonism is very foolish. Hinduism is extremely foolish. Right? Look, every false religion is foolish, and I want you to realize that there's basically two types of atheists. There are those that are atheists who basically they're not saved, and then maybe they grow up in a hypocritical religion, so they start questioning God. They're brainwashed by evolution and the Big Bang Theory and things such as that. And so then all of a sudden, they hear the truth and they say, you know what, I don't believe that. But remember, our verse on the bulletin was not people who hold the truth and saying it's in unbelief, like they don't believe it. It says who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Some atheists just aren't sure if there's a God because they're brainwashed and they've heard false religions, but some hate the God of the Bible. What does it mean by holding the truth in unrighteousness? It means when they hear, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. When they hear the condemnation on the homos, they don't just say, I disagree. They say, that is unrighteous. I hate that message. And I'm preaching about people who hate the truth. Not people that are confused or don't believe it, but people who hate the truth of God and they hold it in unrighteousness. See, all of our false religions are foolish. But see, in Psalm 14, go back to Psalm 14. I believe Psalm 14, though, is not referencing every single person who says they're not sure if God's real. I believe it's referencing those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You say, why do you think that? Because if you look at the chapter, it's talking about reprobates. Amen. Right. And when you cross-reference to Romans 3, guess what? It's referring to reprobates in between verses 10 and 23, kind of in the middle section. Right? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Is the average person just ready to commit murder? I can't wait to commit murder. Right? There's no fear of God before their eyes. No, that's referencing reprobates. Right. And that cross-references to Psalm 14. So in Psalm 14, it's not referring to someone who basically says, you know what, I'm not sure if God's real and they're brainwashed by evolution. It's not referring to someone who's still trying to do what's right because they have a conscience. It's referring to those that hate the truth, they hate the God of the Bible, and they don't want any rules above them. Now, it's hard for us to see this because everybody in the Philippines believes in God, pretty much. But it's not like that all over the world. You can't tell me that half of China are reprobates. I don't believe that. Right. Now, I believe that there's a lot more atheists in China than here in the Philippines, but I don't believe half that country are reprobates. I think they've got a wicked country, a wicked communist government, wicked religion, wicked philosophies like Taoism and Confucianism and Buddhism. But I don't believe that all those people that are questioning whether God's real are just reprobates. I don't believe that. Okay? I believe most of those people still have a conscience and they're trying to do what's right. But see, Psalm 14 is referencing atheists who hate the God of the Bible and they don't want to have any rules to follow. And I'm making this distinction because I'm not preaching about people that have been confused by a false religion and by evolution. I'm preaching against those who hate the God of the Bible and this philosophical idea that there are no rules, just kind of follow whatever you think is right. Okay? That's who I'm preaching against. Psalm 14, point number one is this. Atheism is not logical. Atheism is not logical. It says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. See, according to the Bible, these people are foolish. Amen. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's not logical. Right, you got these Richard Dawkins and these famous atheists that will talk about how we've got the most logical religion, we've proven this and we've proven that, and it's foolish to believe in God. No, you're the one who's a fool.
Right.
It's foolish to sit here and say that this world created itself. And look, just looking at this picture. Why'd you pick this picture, Brother Stuckey? Because when I look at this, I say this is a proof of a creator.
Right.
It's amazing the animals and the creation that God has made. But you know what? In Psalm 14, it's referencing people that don't want to believe in God. They don't want rules. They don't want the truth of God's word, and they hold it in unrighteousness. And so they say inside of their heart, there is no God, and they refuse to believe in God. Verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Now you're seeing here in verse 4, this is referencing reprobates, workers of iniquity, and it says about these people, they have no knowledge. Does that sound like it's logical according to the Bible? No, it sounds like they're bobo according to the Bible. They have no knowledge. You say, but Richard Dawkins is so smart. These people are the most, you know, successful scientists. They're so intelligent. Look, if you went to science hundreds of years ago, like Johannes Kepler and Isaac Newton, those people actually accomplished something. The ones today are just calling themselves smart, and they haven't produced anything. They're phonies. They're frauds. They're not smart, okay? Go to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. And let me explain to you a couple things. Number one, who determines that scoring well on a calculus test or a physics test makes you more intelligent than everybody else? Because a lot of people that are very intelligent have very little common sense. So there's many different areas you could look at of intelligence. But the other thing is this. You know what? When I look at Bible-believing Christians, I look at people that are pretty intelligent usually. I mean, when you look at our church, and I don't know everybody's background or everybody's career and work and everything, but when you look at evolution, they claim this is scientific and it's mathematical. And it's like, man, we have so many engineers at our church and people that got math degrees and everything like that. And it's like, you know, a lot of the like-minded pastors in the U.S. that you love, a lot of them are very smart in math and science and are engineers and everything like that. And they claim we don't have any mathematical ability. We're not very intelligent because we don't believe the Earth is 4.5 billion or 4.6 billion years old. It's like, no, it's just called a dumb theory. And you can sit here and say how much smarter you are than everybody else, but you know what? Common sense would prove you wrong in a million different ways. Okay. Now, some people buy into atheism because they're getting lied to about evolution and the Big Bang Theory. But then there's others, the ones that promote this, that are just bad people. You say, well, how do you know Richard Dawkins is a bad person? Because Richard Dawkins said it is child abuse to teach God and creationism. But he also said it is not wrong for pedophilia. The person who says actual child abuse is not wrong. Pedophilia is not wrong, but teaching the God of the Bible is child abuse. That is who the world is listening to. Sounds like he's a wicked person. Amen. Who's holding the truth in unrighteousness. Right. Richard Dawkins, the most famous atheist, said, whether or not the God of the Bible is real, I would never worship that God. Why? He hates the God of the Bible. Right. He's a hater of God, the Bible says. By his own words, he condemns himself. It's not because it's logical. He just doesn't want to believe in God. You say, Brother Stuckey, isn't the Big Bang Theory logical? It's logical that 18 to 20 billion years ago, all the matter in the world and everything was condensed into a really small space and it exploded. Do you realize how long 18 billion years is? You say, Brother Stuckey, it's only like an extra like six zeros on the end. That's a lot if you understand math. 18 billion is a lot of time. But see, this is not the end goal of evolutionists. I heard an evolutionist recently on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he was talking about religion. I was curious what he said. What they're trying to prove is that the universe is not 18 billion years old, but that it's eternal. They said they think they might be able to prove that. That's their goal. You say, why? If they can prove an eternal universe, that gets rid of God. That's their goal. It's not that it's scientific. It's not that, I mean, out of his own mouth, he said, you know, we might be able to prove that the universe is eternal. Because here's the thing. The Big Bang Theory doesn't explain the origins of everything. Because what started that? And they understand that. They understand it's not logical, so they avoid that question. So they must determine that it's eternal. That's what their goal actually is. And what they're teaching is things such as this. Well, 18 billion years ago, it was this big and it exploded, but they're teaching that it's basically oscillation. It's oscillating, getting small and big and small and big, just eternally, just the world's getting small and big. Wow, that's real logical. Show me the math problem that explains that. That's called being Bobo. That's called hating the God of the Bible. Don't tell me that's more logical than believing that God created this universe. But that's what they're teaching, that it's been oscillating. That's not just 18 billion years. No, actually, it's been getting smaller and bigger. Well, what explains why it's getting smaller and bigger all the time? It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. The Earth being 4.6 billion years old. Explain to me how that's logical. Because the same people that believe in evolution are so scared we're going to destroy the environment in the next couple years. You believe the Earth has lasted for 4.6 billion years, and because people aren't throwing trash away, it's going to destroy the Earth in a couple years? I mean, the environmental movement and evolution go hand in hand. How can you believe this Earth is 4.6 billion years old, and yet we can destroy it in just a few years? It's like stupid. It doesn't make logical sense.
Right.
And look, I'm all for I'm all for trying to be clean and protecting the environment to some degree, but the same people, what I'm saying, that believe this Earth is so incredibly old are so scared it's going to be gone soon. It's like it doesn't make common sense. It's not logical. But look, atheism is not logical. Romans 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, verse 21, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So they chose not to retain God in their knowledge, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now I will say this, although I do believe the best application of Romans 1 is referring to atheists, I don't think that's the only application. Because I also think it would include people that worship animals like Hindus and all these other religions who hear the truth of God and they reject this God. They reject the true God. So I don't think this is just referring to atheists. And oftentimes we kind of preach it like that, and I understand that, but that's not the only application. It would include other religions that worship animals. I mean, the monkey god in China, you know, Hinduism and all these religions that are worshiping all these animals. Well, that fits with Romans 1 as well. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And so the Bible says these people claim to be wise. They say, look at how smart I am. And if you don't believe in evolution, it's because you just don't understand it. That's why you don't believe in it. If you understood evolution, then you would believe it. And they try to say that people that are religious, you know, they're just not that intelligent. They just don't understand math and science. If you actually understood evolution, you'd believe it. And it's okay. You're just not as educated as me because I'm an evolutionist. That's what they say. But they're actually fools. They profess to be wise, but they're actually fools. Verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So instead of believing in the God of the Bible, they reject the God of the Bible and they worship all these animals and science and these facts and they try to claim that the world just created itself. Why do they do that? Is it because it's logical? No, it's because they don't want any rules following them. It's not because it's logical. They just don't want to be told the word no.
Right.
They just don't want to be told that it's wrong to commit this sin, so they choose to reject it, not because it's logical, but because they don't like the God of the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's the problem with that. Whether or not you like the God of the Bible doesn't change the fact that he is God. I mean, whether you like him or not, it doesn't change reality. That's the God that you answer to. And so you can dislike the God of the Bible and you can dislike his rules. Well, okay, that doesn't change reality. And look, here's the truth. We hear preaching from God's word. We read things in the Bible. And sometimes it steps on our toes because we don't always like it, right? If I'm honest with you, I read things in the Bible and I'm saying, ouch, that kind of hurts because that means I'm guilty of something. But you know what's really foolish and why the Bible says these people are fools is because they just choose not to believe it. Not because it's not logical, but because they don't like it. Well, that doesn't change reality. And it's really foolish because you're going to be judged by that God one day. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, seems to be so intelligent, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And see, the Bible says there are people that we promote as being so smart and so intelligent. Stephen Hawking, Richard Dawkins, and all these people are so intelligent and everything like that. But you know, if they actually want to be intelligent, they need to become a fool, humble themselves, and realize you're just a human being created by God, and you don't understand how things work as well as you think you do. And if you want to be wise, it starts by becoming a fool, humbling yourself. But notice verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. This is an interesting expression, in their own craftiness, because kind of the indication is these people promote themselves to be the smartest people, and yet it's the opposite. They look like the biggest fools. Right. Isn't that true? They promote themselves of being so wise, and yet I couldn't come up with something more foolish. It's like God takes them in their own craftiness. I mean, that's kind of like this whole series. When I talked about Buddhists say, remove suffering, remove suffering, remove suffering. You're just going to add suffering to your life when you try to do that. Or Taoism, I want an easy life, easy life, easy life. You're going to give yourself a hard life and put yourself in bondage. Right? Same with communism. Equality, equality, equality. Well, you know what? You're going to end up destroying your life and not have that equality. And it's like God takes them in their own craftiness, and the same people that say, I'm so wise, actually are the opposite. You need to flip that graph 180 degrees and whoops, I'm at the very bottom of this, not at the top, right? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I mean, actually, all the philosophies we've covered so far kind of fit in with atheism, because in Taoism, they don't believe in a creator God. They actually believe in the Big Bang Theory, which we'll talk about later on. So much for it being a new theory, the Big Bang Theory. Buddhism, they don't inherently believe in a creator God. Many Buddhists say they don't believe in God. Now, I don't understand how you believe in spirits and an afterlife and stuff like that when you don't believe in God. It doesn't make logical sense. But as I said, atheism's not logical. Communism certainly fits with an atheist perspective. The famous communists, most of them did not believe in God. Okay? And so look, atheism is largely attached to a lot of these philosophies. Notice what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. The Bible speaks about oppositions of science. Now, I want you to realize a great application is evolution. A great application is the modern day Big Bang Theory. But this was written 2,000 years ago. There was oppositions of science 2,000 years ago. Anyway, there's nothing new under the sun, so there's oppositions of science 6,000 plus years ago when the earth was created, right? There's always been oppositions of science and these theories trying to justify why God is not real and fight against God. But evolution is certainly a great modern day application because of the fact it's leading to a rise in atheism in this world, and many people are embracing evolution. Half of people in the United States believe in evolution. And it's like, what's funny about it is sometimes you talk to these people and you kind of give a couple disproofs of evolution and they immediately switch. Like they haven't even thought it out, but they're just brainwashed with it. And you just kind of explain some problems with this. You're like, yeah, that's a good point. It's like, do you really believe dinosaurs became birds? No, of course not. Well, that's what evolution. Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't believe that. It's like they're being lied to, and people are trusting their teachers. And I get it, because when you have somebody, it's like being part of a church, you trust what the person preaching is saying. And unfortunately, oftentimes you don't read it for yourself to find out. Yep. Right? We've all been guilty of that. Okay? At this church, I want you to read the Bible because I want you to trust in what God says above anything. Okay? But people are in school and then they hear about evolution. They just kind of assume, well, I mean, the teacher knows more about this than me. He must be right. And that's what's going on. And people are being brainwashed by the world that's lying to them. And it's just the God of this world just deceiving them. Okay? Verse 21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith, grace be with thee, amen. And so some people, they get led away with these false things about science, and you know what? There's many people that go to college believing in God, and they walk away not believing in God. You say, why? Evolution, atheism, the Big Bang Theory, it's brainwashing people, okay? Turn your Bible to Romans 1. Romans 1. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. And, you know, obviously, you know, you're a kid, you love dinosaurs and stuff like that, but kind of my first, and I'll admit, I loved Jurassic Park when I was a kid, right? I didn't think it was actually realistic, but I thought it was entertaining, right? But you know what? Then when you're growing up and everything, you know, I had a class on evolution in high school because I was half a day homeschooled in high school and half a day at home. It wasn't a whole class on evolution, but they talked about it. And I remember talking to my sister because here's the thing about my sister. She's 2 years older than me, and she is the smartest person you're ever going to meet. It's not really just my opinion. She skipped five grades. She skipped second, seventh, eighth, and then two grades in high school, okay? And so, look, she's an extremely intelligent. I mean, by an IQ test, it's probably 170. She's a genius. So I talked to her about this, and my sister is just really good at math, very intelligent, and I said, you know what? Evolution doesn't make sense to me. And my sister said, you know what? That's because it's stupid. And she gave me a book written by Ken Ham, and I'm not really promoting Ken Ham, but he's a young earth creationist that just taught that the earth was young and everything and evolution was dumb. I was like, yeah, it makes perfect sense, right? So look, this idea, well, all the smart people believe in evolution. Well, I'm sorry, but my sister's a whole lot smarter than Richard Dawkins and those other people.
Right.
I mean, my sister finished second place among all girls in the National Math Counts competition when she was in eighth grade. And you know what? She was a year younger than the other eighth graders because she had already skipped, right? But she finished second place among all girls in the nation. And I'll tell you what, when I was in college, most of the people that I had math class with that were majoring in math, they didn't believe in evolution. It's like this idea, well, if you're mathematical, you believe in evolution. No, actually, because when you do math, 2 + 3 = 5. Right. And then you often look at evolution and it looks like a fairy tale. It's the scientists that believe in evolution, but people that majored in math, at least from where I was at WVU, they didn't believe in evolution. They didn't believe the earth was billions of years old. This idea that all atheists are just so smart and all of us are so dumb, that's ridiculous. Now, are there people that are smart atheists that are very intelligent? There are people that are very intelligent because you know what? You can become a reprobate from any different background because you can choose to just hate what God says. And Richard Dawkins is a wicked person who's going to split hell wide open. Amen. And that God that he does not believe in, he's going to bow down in front of.
Amen.
Stephen Hawking, who died in a wheelchair, the famous atheist, he's going to have the ability to walk for a couple seconds so he can bow down before Almighty God.
Amen.
He's going to bow down and beg for mercy. No mercy coming. Because you are leading people to hell with this damnable doctrine. Point one, atheism is not logical. Point two, the Bible and believing in God is logical. Atheism's not logical. Believing in God is logical. It says in Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So in verses 16 and 17, it talks about the gospel. Verse 17 shows you need a soul winner to get saved because salvation comes from faith. To faith. Somebody who has faith passes it on. And then it says, we're going to skip verse 18 for a little while. We'll go there later on. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, referring to God, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, the Bible says, although we do not see God, we don't see God today, and yet we can look at what he's made and it proves to us, and we can understand that there's an eternal God with all power. We can understand the very nature of God by what he's created. And so look, someone who says, well, I don't believe in God, how do I know if this God is real? God's already revealed it to you,
right,
by what he's created. Amen. By the sun, by the moon, by the stars, by the skies, by everything he's made, he's proven himself to be real. And they'll say, well, if he only appeared to me, I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. He's done everything to show that he's real, and you still reject him because you don't want to believe in God. Okay? Go to Romans 2. Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. You say, what does that mean in Romans 2, verse 14? Well, it's talking about Gentiles, referring to just basically unbelievers without the word of God. And even without the word of God, even without the rules, they just by nature do those things contained in the law. Meaning, children understand that murder is wrong. Children understand that stealing is wrong. Now, it doesn't mean that children won't steal, but here's what I'm talking about. Before you were saved, were you just going out there and robbing banks and raping people and murdering? No, you would feel guilty about doing things like stealing from someone.
Right.
Would you have felt comfortable stealing money from someone? No, you wouldn't. You say, why? Because your conscience tells you it's wrong. And even if you did something like that, you would feel guilty.
Right.
What is that? It's your conscience. And so look, the unbelieving world, by nature, they actually do the things contained in the law. They will try to follow what's right. Now, everybody's a sinner. We understand that. But there's things that people don't do because they would feel wrong about it. They would say, it's just not right to do this. It's not right to steal from someone. People tell lies. And yet, inside of each and every person, they feel guilty about certain things. Why? God gave them a conscience. The only way that changes is if that conscience gets seared,
right,
with a hot iron,
right,
because they don't like the God of the Bible. But they were born with a conscience to understand right and wrong. Verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And so the Bible says, the work of the law written in their hearts. And so look, understanding right and wrong, it's actually written inside of us. And many things we wouldn't do because we just know they're wrong. You say, I never heard the Bible about that. How do I know that? That's your conscience telling you right and wrong, that you feel guilty about certain things. And look, before you were saved, you felt guilty about doing certain things, even if you didn't know what the Bible taught. Even if you didn't know that there was a verse on it, you say, why? Because it's just what God has built into you, right? Turn in your Bible to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. So here's the thing. If somebody says they don't believe in God, but they're trying to obey their conscience, that's not who I'm preaching about. Because of the fact they're just like any person, part of any false religion. What I'm talking about is people that hate the rules of the Bible, and they choose to call it unrighteousness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness, and they go down this spiral of becoming a wicked person. Okay? That's what we're talking about here today. Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1. You say, well, how do you know that God's real? What does the Bible say here in Psalm 19, verse 1? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know why? You know, every kid growing up, all you have to do is say, look up at the sky. It's like, wow, how did it get here? God made that. And you know what? Kids believe it.
Right.
Right? I mean, kids believe in God. I mean, it just makes sense, right? You know, you believe in God just inherently. And look, the firmament showeth his handiwork. You can look outside and see the glory of God. You say, Brother Stuckey, I'm an atheist. You know, I don't believe in this book. I think it's wicked. Well, here's the thing. Go outside, look up at the sky, and come back in. If you still don't believe in God, you just don't want to believe in God. Because deep down inside of you, you know that God is real. And look, I'll tell you this. I do believe that there are people that are atheists, that are not reprobates, that don't believe in God. And there's people that are atheists, certainly, that are reprobates. But, you know, many of these atheists, we need an atheist test. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, throw them in the middle of the ocean and see whether they cry out to God. Right? Because it's going to reveal the truth. Because many of these atheists, they're not really atheists when push comes to shove, right? When they actually get in that sort of situation, then they're praying, please, God, save me. Please, God, save me, right? And it's like, you know what? Many of these people, you know what? Deep down inside, they actually do believe in God. Maybe they're agnostic. They're not sure, whatever. But many of these people that say they're atheists, deep down, they actually do believe in God. Now, I don't believe all of them because the Bible does talk about people that say there is no God. But many of these atheists are not actually atheists, okay? I would love to do that to Richard Dawkins. Let's do the test on Richard Dawkins. Let's find out if you believe in God or not, right? And then all of a sudden, verse 2, it says this, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. So what does it mean by day unto day uttereth speech? Well, day unto day is talking about from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. During the day, when it's light outside, what God has created utters speech. You look up at the sun, and it tells you something. You look up at the clouds, and it tells you something. You look up at the sky, you look at the ocean, it tells you something. You say, Brother Sucky, I get what you're saying because I heard the sun talk to me the other day. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it literally, audibly says words, but when you look at it, it teaches you something. You can look up at the sun and understand God is real and understand who God is, okay? Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. What is night unto night? It means the stars. It means the moon. It means the sky. And you can look up and see, you know what, that God is real. Okay? Verse 3. Now realize this is not salvation. I'm not sitting here saying that you can look up at the sky, because there's this doctrine, the gospel in the sky or the gospel in the stars, that in the stars, like if you got this telescope or whatever, you can look and it has the gospel written or whatever, or it used to be before the flood. That's ridiculous. When it's saying it utters speech, it's not literally saying that words are coming out, okay? But it is saying that we can inherently understand things about God based on not even words, but just by what he's created. And Romans 1 talked about that. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You say, what does that mean? It means there's no part of this world, whether they speak, whether you're in Russia and they speak Russian, whether you're in Spain and they speak Spanish, whether you're in Arabic country, whether you're here in the Philippines, wherever you are, there is no speech nor language, no part of this world where they don't see the sun and the clouds and the moon and the stars, right? Day unto day uttereth speech to everybody in the world. So by what God has created, he's showing, I'm real. See, you have to realize the Bible's logical. It's not that God put us here and then all of a sudden there's no way to believe in God. No, by what he's created, you can tell God's real. Okay? What he's created, even inside of you, you can tell that God is real. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Look, the sun rises and sets no matter where you are. Okay? And what God has created shows that God is real. Look, when people become atheists, it's for one of two reasons. One is they get deceived by false religion like evolution and the Big Bang, and maybe they're part of a hypocritical church. Because I've talked to atheists before that I don't believe are reprobates, that basically, you know what, that they were part of the Catholic Church, and they saw the pedophilia and the molestation, and the church covered it up, and it left a bad taste in their mouth, and they say, well, that's not true. If that's Christianity, I don't believe in that. And many of them became agnostic or atheist, but not because they hated God, not because they were bad people, but because they saw false religion. And unfortunately, there's many false religions. And in some instances, it's more logical to not believe in God than believe in the false religion, right? And so, but there's also people that just don't like the rules of the Bible. They don't like being told no, and when they hear God's word, they get angry at it. Not that because they have any reason that it's wrong, they just don't like it. Go to Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. Look, the Bible's logical. The Bible is logical, whether it looks at historically, scientifically, mathematically, in all areas, the Bible's logical, it makes sense. Okay? Let me give you a couple scientific facts here, just real quickly during this sermon, that just kind of show that the Bible is a very scientific book. The Bible was ahead of its time when it's written. The Bible's always ahead, okay? It says here in Leviticus 17, verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." The life of the flesh is in the blood. And so the Bible says that your life's actually in your blood, so the indication is if you had no blood that you would die, okay? Right. Say, why is that important? Because bloodletting used to be a very common practice. And what bloodletting was is that when you got sick, they would drain blood from your body and they thought it would heal you. In fact, this is actually very common around the world still today. I mean, all over Africa and in India, bloodletting is very common. It's like, you got this disease, let's just take blood from you, it's going to make you feel better. And that was a very common practice. People actually thought that. You say, why would they think that that would work? Well, what happens is when you drain blood from somebody's body, they get really sick. But they would usually recover. And they're like, oh, wow, he got sick because, you know, he was really sick. But then he recovered because we took the blood from him. So sometimes they take the blood and you die. They say, well, you died because of the sickness, not because we took the blood. But when you recover, they drain the blood from your body. You get put to the point of death. It's like, man, it's a good thing we took this blood because they would have never made it. Then all of a sudden you end up recovering. See? People just don't think things through. But that's why they actually thought that it actually worked. And look, I saw a video, and I just don't like seeing this sort of stuff. I don't like sharp objects. It's just kind of like gruesome to me and stuff like that. I never understood why people like slasher films and stuff. Even when I was worldly, it's like, why do you want to see people stabbed to death? It's just really disgusting. But I saw this, and then it was in India, and they were lining up to get healed of sickness. And they were paying a lot of money. And then all of a sudden, you just saw a stream of just blood coming down from these people because they're you know, taking blood from their body. Because it's still very common in India that if you're sick, we better take blood from you. It's going to make you feel better. Well, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So if you believe the Bible, you would know that that's foolishness. I mean, George Washington, the first president of the U.S., do you know how he died? They took blood from his body. Bloodletting. He died because they just drained him out of blood and he died. That's how, with a Bible right beside him. It's like, man, you should have opened that thing, right? But George Washington was a deist, and a deist is someone who believes God created this world and just kind of left it because he doesn't care about us. They're not Bible-believing Christians, George Washington and the founding fathers. But he died because of bloodletting. It's like, well, you should have read the Bible. Look, there's so many things, like the Bible talks about washing your hands under running water. So if you work in a hospital and stuff like that, you don't just operate on one person and then you don't wash your hands and operate on another person. What they used to do in hospitals is they would basically have this big bucket of water. So a person delivers a baby, then they wash their hands in water, they deliver another baby, they wash their hands in the same water, and all these doctors are washing in this bloody water. And then that's why many women died during childbirth and they didn't know why. It's like, well, you should have read the Bible. Wash your hands under running water, not under the same bloody water. But they didn't realize that. I mean, literally, just a few hundred years ago, science didn't figure this out. It's like the Bible is actually scientific. You should have trusted in the Bible ahead of time. Go to Job 40. Job 40. You could preach literally a sermon series on the science and the proof of God in the Bible and why it's accurate. I'm just going to give you a couple examples here. Job 40. Now, if you've read the Bible, one thing you realize is this, that the Bible very clearly talks about dinosaurs. You say, well, why didn't they call it dinosaur? Well, because dinosaurs were discovered in the 19th century, and the King James is written hundreds of years before that. So it doesn't have the word dinosaur, but you're reading about these creatures, and you can tell it's clearly a dinosaur. Right. Okay? Notice what it says here in Job 40, verse 15. "Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly." So at the end of the book of Job, God talks about two different creatures that are just so powerful and so big and so strong. And in Job 40, people read this and they said, man, it sounds like an elephant. An elephant's a big animal. An elephant's a strong animal. I agree, an elephant's a strong animal, but, you know, we're going to see that's not talking about an elephant. You say, how do you know that? Well, verse 17, "He moveth his tail like a cedar." A cedar tree is a very thick tree. Elephants' tails are like, what, this big? He moveth his tail like a cedar. So it's indicating an animal. And but you know what? When you see pictures of dinosaurs, don't they have really big tails?
Right.
Really strong tail, like a cedar. It's like, you know, the Bible talked about dinosaurs. And you know what? People used to mock Job 40. And they said the Bible's talking about these creatures that aren't even real. And then all of a sudden they discovered dinosaurs. And now they try to claim the Bible never talks about dinosaurs. It's like you used to mock Job 40 and Job 41 and say, well, these creatures don't even exist. And now they try to pretend like those parts of the Bible aren't there. It's like, no, the Bible was ahead of science. Okay? Go to Job 41. Job 41. Job 41. He talks about another creature in Job chapter 41, which is a fire-breathing animal. Notice what it says in Job 41, verse 18. By his kneesings, you say, what's a kneesing? It's a sneezing, okay? By his kneesings, a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. So the Bible speaks about a creature that would breathe fire, a very strong and powerful creature. You say, Brother Stuckey, that's mythology. That's not real. See, the Bible's false. Well, how come Alexander the Great saw a dragon when he was in India?
Right.
Alexander the Great, not some random person that I'm saying saw something, you know, because he was drunk. No, Alexander the Great in India saw a dragon. Oh, dragons aren't real. Then how come, I mean, there's many sightings from famous people in history, but Alexander the Great's one of the most famous people that ever existed, my friend. And when he was in India, guess what? He saw a dragon. And so look, the Bible is ahead of science because they say, well, it's not even real now. But it talks about a creature that is so big and so large. It's clearly talking about a dinosaur. But, you know, there are creatures today that are smaller that actually breathe fire or hot liquid. Right? I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think it's the Bombardier beetle, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it breathes like hot liquid when an enemy comes at it and kills it. So look, it's not shocking that God made a big creature that could do the same thing. But it's clearly talking about a dinosaur. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I think I've said this story before, but I knew somebody in college. He was in engineering, and I don't know if he got an engineering degree or not. He ended up going to history or whatever. But he's really into history and everything. But he was an atheist, and I gave him the gospel, and he never got saved. And I actually ran into him door-to-door, soul-winning, like 6 years later or whatever, and he was certainly a reprobate at that point, right? That guy just hated the God of the Bible. But one thing he told me in college, you know, maybe before he was a reprobate or whatever, he told me this. He's like, you know what? He didn't believe the Bible, but he said they found the historical proof of the Red Sea. He said they found the chariots over there. He doesn't believe in God. But he said, I can't deny that. I mean, it's historically a fact, you know, like something happened. They have all the chariots that were drowned there. It's like, but he still doesn't believe in God. You say, why? He doesn't care whether it's logical or not. He obviously just doesn't like the God of the Bible. I mean, literally, out of his own mouth, he told me, well, you know what? They've proven that historically. But he still doesn't believe in God. Why? It's not about logic. This is why we need to understand. If we run into atheists going soul winning, there's two types of atheists. Those that have been deceived, but they're still trying to do what's right, and they might get saved when you give them the gospel. And then those that hate the God of the Bible, they're not getting saved. Richard Dawkins is not getting saved. Now, look, you throw him in the middle of the ocean, he might cry out to God, but I'll tell you what, he's never going to believe on Jesus Christ for salvation because he is twice dead, my friend.
Right.
And so I want you to realize, we're not trying to argue with atheists at the door and make them look foolish. If they're willing to listen, we give them the gospel. And I knew two people in college that were atheists that ended up getting saved. Now, it took several times, but you know what? They were people that were not bad people. They had just been deceived, and they heard the gospel, and then they kind of slowly changed over time. There are people that were atheists, part of a false religion, but they weren't bad people, and then they ended up getting saved, just like there's people of every religion that end up getting saved. Isaiah 40, verse 22. Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Okay? The Bible tells us in Isaiah verse 40, verse 22, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, that the earth is spherical. It's round. It says the circle of the earth. Okay? I don't think this is very confusing. People say, well, I mean, a circle's two-dimensional, so that must mean the earth is flat. Well, here's the thing about this. We don't live in a two-dimensional world. So a circle doesn't really exist in an actual three-dimensional world. And if the Earth is just this tall, then you no longer have a circle, okay? You have a cylinder, a very, not a very tall cylinder, but you have a cylinder, a cylindrical object, okay? It's no longer a circle. You say, well, why doesn't it just say sphere? Well, it doesn't say sphere because the word sphere, although it was in the English language, it wasn't a very common word, so the Bible used a more common word of a circle. But here's the thing, when you teach a kid about a sphere, what you tell them is it's a three-dimensional circle. And it makes sense with kids.
Right.
You say, Brother Stucky, I don't know about that. Well, let's just have a math class here, okay? Let me just quickly explain to you what a circle is and what a sphere is, since evolutionists don't seem to understand this, or people that want to doubt the Bible. See, here's the thing. Let's say you have a circle here. What's the definition of a circle? The definition of a circle is an object where you take the middle point and every point along the circumference or the perimeter is an equidistant or an equal amount away from the center. Okay? That's what you have. You have a circle and then every point's an equal amount. Because if you had an oval, it's not going to be an equal amount from the center. But with a circle, every point along the circumference is an equidistant from the center. What's the definition of a sphere? You've got a three-dimensional object where you take the middle point and everything along the outside is an equidistant from the center. It's literally, by definition, a three-dimensional circle. That's what a sphere is. And so when it says circle, it's very easy to understand. Well, the Bible's saying it's not shaped like a triangle. It's not shaped like a square. Because most people understand it's a three-dimensional world. Okay? So look, what this is teaching is that the Earth is spherical. It's really not that complicated. But yet, throughout human history, many cultures didn't believe that the Earth was spherical. Now, we know it's a fact that the Earth is spherical. Okay? Turn your Bible to Romans 1. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. I mean, what other church do you get a free math lesson in, right? Huh? Free math lesson here at church? I mean, wouldn't math have been more entertaining growing up if the teacher was like mocking evolution and mocking atheists and everything? Right? I mean, you would have learned it then. It would be like, man, this is awesome. This is interesting, right? Getting a free math lesson here. And so point number one is this. Atheism's not logical, okay? And look, you can look at many different things about it. And the Bible is logical, point number two. I mean, even something like this, you know, why is the center of the earth still really hot? Because, you know, honestly, you know, if you make coffee and you take the cup out but you forget to drink it, has that ever happened? Then all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, it's Mali Gum Gum, right? It's disgusting. Who wants to drink Mali Gum Gum Cafe, right? It's disgusting, okay? Because you know what ends up happening is objects end up cooling off after you heat them up over time. And yet the Earth, supposedly the center of the Earth, has been hot for 4.5 billion years, and it's still hot. It hasn't cooled down. And amazingly, it also hasn't burned the entire Earth. Explain that one to me. I mean, it's so incredibly hot, and yet it hasn't burned up the Earth, and yet it's staying hot. It doesn't make any logical sense. But you know what does make logical sense? That the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself, which is why we see an increase in volcanoes and earthquakes as we get further along in time. Why? Because hell is getting closer to the surface. So the Bible actually makes logical sense as it says hell hath enlarged herself. And look, you can look up scientists, just try to explain that away. They have no answer for why the earth is still hot. They literally will say that they're not sure. They have this complicated thing. They're like, but we're really not sure. You know why hell's still hot? Because God is keeping it hot for people like them. Romans 1. Point number 3. People become like this because they want to reject God. It's not because it's not logical. It's not that believing God is not logical. They just don't want to believe in God, so they want to reject God. They want a reason. They want an out to not believe in God. Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice this. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. These are people, it's not just that they hear the truth and they say, I don't believe this. They hear the truth and say, that is wicked. They hear the truth of God's word and they hate it. It's not that they just don't agree with it or don't believe it. Because there's many things that we don't agree with or we don't believe. but it doesn't mean that we hate them. But they hear the truth of God's word. They don't just not believe it. They hate it. They hold it in unrighteousness. Basically, they try to put God on trial and say that God is wicked. They say God is unjust and God is wicked, and they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They do not like the God of the Bible. Romans 1, verse 24. Romans 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. These people, they hate the truth of God's word. They hate what God says. They don't want to believe in God. They deny God, and then they end up becoming wicked people. And God says, you know what? I'm done with you. You no longer have a chance. I mean, do you think that God created somebody as a pedophile to have those sorts of desires? No. That takes place when people reject God and they hate God and they get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. I mean, mark it down. These famous atheists, they are bad people. And I can pretty much guarantee they're all a bunch of pedophiles and weirdos. And they hate God. They want to live a wicked lifestyle. It's not because of logic. Don't tell me that Richard Dawkins is the smartest person that there is out there. Anyway, they're completely hypocritical too, because these same people that are these evolutionists and atheists are the same people behind the LGBT agenda and feminism and all these things. But you know, their friend Charles Darwin in the 19th century was the biggest racist, and he was the biggest sexist that there was. Karl Marx, the same way, just used women, didn't care about them. They're just hypocrites, okay? In the Bible, on the other hand, it actually glorifies men and women. But then atheism and theories like this just degrade them. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And the Bible speaks about these people that are these wise people by the world's standards. And the Bible says their thoughts are vain. They're foolish. They're stupid. I mean, they literally sit around and try to explain, how can we explain away God? I mean, maybe there's an explosion that happened 20 billion years ago, right? You say, Brother Shucky, that sounds logical to me. Okay, well, I mean, look at this pulpit that we have here. This is a nice pulpit, isn't it? You know how we got this? You know, we had an explosion in our house. You know, I was cooking, and sometimes when I cook, I leave the food on for too long, and it exploded. And then, boom, this is what we got. Amazing, right? That's how we were created. There's just a random explosion that took place. That's what they teach. I mean, anybody who would hear this would say that's foolish to say that there's an explosion and here we are today, and yet that's what they teach. It's like talk about being dumb, and they would never say that with a car. It's like, man, you've got a nice car. Where did you get that? Man, it just an explosion happened. And then there was my car. That's how I got my house, my car. I mean, my wife, too. I was just sitting there, man. It's like, man, I hope God blessed me with a wife. Boom, an explosion, and there she was. It's just like you would say, that's foolish. It's dumb. It doesn't make sense. And that's what they teach. It's so scientific. It's so logical, right? Look, you know what they're teaching now? Because evolution has been proven false so many different times. Now they're trying to teach punctuated equilibrium. And look, punctuated equilibrium makes no logical sense. It's retarded. But what they're teaching is this. Because we don't see any evolution today. Humans have humans. Dogs have dogs. There are no intermediate forms. You don't see half humans, half apes. You don't see half dogs, half this. You don't see that. And they say, well, the reason why is because a species will stabilize over time. And then that there's no evolution for a long time. And then just boom, 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 all kinds of evolution. It's punctuated. They give a big fancy word, punctuated equilibrium, where basically no evolution will take place for 5 million years, and then just boom, it's like Star Trek. This is not logical. Right. It's foolish. It's stupid. Logic would be that if evolution were true, there'd be tons of intermediate forms alive today, and you'd be seeing this slow transition. But what they believe is not logical. It doesn't make any sense. Where are we at? John 3, verse 19. John 3, verse 19. John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil.
Amen.
See, who I'm preaching about, these people that hate the God of the Bible, their deeds are evil. They're bad people. They hate the light of God's word. They hate God, and they reject God. Why? Because they don't like God.
Right.
Not because it's not logical, but because they don't like God. And they hate the light of God's word. That's why they hate it when we read the Bible. That's why they hate the gospel, because they hate the light of God's word. Why? Because their deeds are evil. It says in verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." They don't want to be reproved. They don't want to hear the word no. It's like, you know what? Your mom and dad should have taught you the word no when you're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. But you have these people, these middle-aged people that are like these little babies that don't get their way. They can't hear the word no. I mean, no, they start crying because they don't get their way. They don't like an authority figure, okay?
Right.
And so they hate that. That's why many of these people become anarchists, which anarchy is like a political form of government where there's no authority, no rules, and just do whatever you want. Basically, the Judges 17 through 21 mentality, every man did that which was right in his own eyes, okay? Go to Jude 1, Jude 1, Jude chapter 1, Jude 1. This is a sort of sermon, it's hard not to lose your voice, right? Because I hate atheism. I mean, I remember being, it's been a while, but you know, when I was in college, because when you're in college, you know, people are talking about math and science, and I watched Ken Hovind's creation seminar like 55 million times or something like that, right? And I got all these facts, and I used to argue with people at the door, and just try to bash evolution and bash their beliefs. But you know, that's not how you get them saved though. The reality is, the ones that are actually savable, you know what, you just give them the gospel and they might be willing to listen. What you can do is say this. They say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, you know what, you know, could you just pretend that you believe the Bible and let me show you, and you can just decide afterwards whether you believe it or not.
Right.
And many people that don't think they'll believe, actually when they hear God's word, it's just like, man, this is really making sense, right? It just makes sense to them. They're like, man, that's why, you know, we go soul winning. We try to persuade people to listen, because we know if they just listen to me for 15, 20 minutes, they might end up getting saved. They don't realize it. We realize, though, that the Word of God is so powerful that even somebody who started to question God's existence could get saved in 20 minutes and say, man, that is the most logical thing I've ever heard in my life. That makes sense. I believe it because the Word of God is powerful. Jude 1, verse 7. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So in verse 7, it talks about the homos that are destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah, which, look, I'm not going onto a rabbit trail on that. Obviously, Romans 1 talks about that. It's kind of outside the scope of the sermon. We can't make it 5 hours, okay? 3 hours is long enough, okay? But there's definitely a link there, because you become a reprobate and you just get into sexual perversion. That's why people go down that road and then they become pedophiles and weirdos and freaks and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, verse 8, but notice this. This is what I want to show you. Verse 8, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh." Notice this. "Despise dominion. Speak evil of dignities." These people hate authority. Or dominion. They hate rules. Why is it that these atheists become, they hate hearing the word no? It's not because God's not logical. They just don't like the God of the Bible. They don't like rules. They despise or hate dominion or authority. They don't like being told what to do. Look, God set up authority structure throughout our entire lives. This is why I don't go overboard. Of course, I don't believe governments are righteous and they've got a lot of problems, but at the same time, I don't want to be basically condoning despising dominion, because we live under the government. It's like, if we disagree with something with the government, we're not going to go fight the government and take over the government. That's not our job as Bible-believing Christians.
Right, right.
Even if we don't agree with all the rules. But these people, they despise dominion. They hate dominion, the Bible says. Turn to Romans 1. Romans 1. Now, I want you to realize something. The Big Bang Theory It's obviously a way to try to get people to be atheists, but it's not really a way to get people to reject the idea of God. But what it does do is get people to reject the God of the Bible. Because there's no way you could look at this and say, okay, you know, the Big Bang Theory fits with the Bible. I actually just read last night, I'm like, what in the world? Like, the person who invented the Big Bang Theory, he's like a Belgian Catholic priest. And then the Pope was so happy, he's like, wow, you know, the Bible lines up with science. As like he heard about the Big Bang Theory, and the Pope's like, "Man, this fits." I'm like, "It's like what book are you reading?" It's like, "What are you talking about?" Right? And but anyways, the Big Bang Theory. I want you to realize this doesn't explain the existence of God because they don't have the origins of everything, and they always understood that this doesn't explain the actual origins. They're just explaining the present world that we have today. But what came before that? And they can't explain that. That's why they're trying to teach that it's been oscillating back and forth. But what I want you to realize, people say the Big Bang Theory is roughly 100 years old or just under that. It's actually an old theory. It's not a new theory. Now, look, I'm not necessarily a big person into science, but, you know, I do study, you know, various religions and read some of the stuff in order to preach against it. And, look, I can give you three different ones that I have personally read that taught the Big Bang Theory thousands of years ago. Now, of course, they didn't call it the Big Bang Theory, but it's the same thing. The Tao Te Ching, which I just read, teaches the Big Bang Theory. It teaches that the origin of the universe, there was chaos, and then just boom, here we are today. I mean, if you look that up on Google, you know what people will say? Well, those are different completely because the Tao Te Ching, Taoism, is a philosophical idea, and the Big Bang Theory is a scientific idea. But yet they teach the exact same thing. It's just like the Big Bang Theory is not a new theory. Anyway, this actually makes sense to me because there's nothing new under the sun, which means evolution and these atheists are promoting the same ideas and they just slightly change them, change the name, and look at how smart we are. We just came up with this theory. We proved that God is not real. We proved the Earth is 20 billion or 4.5 billion years old. But it's the same theory. They're just slightly changing it. Or not changing it at all and just giving it a different name. It's completely different because one's philosophical and one's scientific, even though they teach the same thing. It's like, yeah, 2 + 3 versus 3 + 2 is so much different from one another. Right? They both give you the answer of 5. Not only the Tao Te Ching and Taoism, which is the big philosophical system in China, which has been around for thousands of years. It predates Jesus Christ. And look, Lao Tzu himself, who wrote the Tao Te Ching, he even says in the Tao Te Ching that he did not come up with Taoism. He says this is what our ancient fathers taught. So by his own words, this teaching had been around for thousands of years before that. So basically, since the beginning, people have been trying to explain away the existence of God. Look, I'm sure if before the flood we could talk to people in whatever language they were speaking, I have no idea. You know what? I'm sure that atheism was on the rise in Genesis chapter 6. I guarantee it. And they had stupid theories like this. Not only Taoism, though, but Greek mythology or the Hellenistic period, Hellenism, they teach very similar to the Big Bang Theory. They say that there was chaos and then just everything emerged from it. That's what Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato taught. Now, there was two types of creation stories for Greek mythology, but that was one of them, same thing. And I just started reading in the ancient records of Japan in for Shinto, their holy book, the Kojiki, or however you pronounce that, right? However you pronounce that, brother. But you know, they teach something very similar. I'm reading it. It's like, man, that sounds like the Big Bang Theory to me. That's just what I personally read. Look, the Big Bang Theory is not new. They don't have anything better. Their best theory is there's a random explosion and here we are today. Look, spontaneous generation was this proven a long time ago where basically they used to teach, well, if you got rotten meat and then all of a sudden you see flies 20 minutes later, the flies must have evolved from the rotten meat. That's what they used to teach in science class. And that was disproven. It's like, man, if you had some common sense, you know everything brings forth after its own kind, right? Now turn in your Bible to Romans 1. Romans 1. But here's the thing, though. Atheism is certainly on the rise in this world. And it coincides with the world becoming very wicked. In the United States, in 2003, 11% of people claim to be atheist or agnostic. 1 in 9 people roughly in the United States in 2003 said they didn't believe in God. Now, once again, we need the atheist test. Drop them in the middle of the ocean, right around a bunch of sharks, and see whether or not they actually believe in God, right? But in 2018, just 15 years later, 11% went to 21%. Doubling in 15 years. 21% in 2018 said they do not believe in, you know, and here's the thing about this. People often think that the United States, everybody follows the United States. No, the United States follows Europe. Europe is more wicked by and large, at least from my experience. I visited there a couple times, or I visited a long time ago in France and Italy, and I was like, man, this is so wicked. And it's like they were just 15 years ahead of the U.S. The U.S. is following Europe, and Europe, in many parts, is very atheistic. And guess what? This world is going to have an increase in atheism because when you've got a bunch of sodomites and perverts and weirdos and rape and murder, they don't want to hear that's wrong. There's going to be a rise in atheism. Not because it's logical, but because the world is wicked. I promise you in Genesis chapter 6, there was many people that did not believe in God. Why? Well, obviously God destroyed the world because it was so wicked. We are going to see a rise in atheism. People become atheists oftentimes not because of logic, but because of out of convenience. You don't want to believe in something that says you're wrong all the time, so they just became an atheist. Romans chapter 1. Point number one, atheism is not logical. Point two, the Bible is logical. Point three, these people, they want to reject God. And point four, it is going to get worse and worse and worse until the end comes. Look, evolution is going to rise in popularity. It's not going to die off. Punctuated equilibrium is going to rise in popularity unless they come up with something more intelligent, which I doubt. The Big Bang Theory is going to rise in popularity. Atheism is going to rise in popularity. There's going to be an increase in people that do not believe in God as we get closer to the end. Why? Because they want to reject God, and this world is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until the end comes. You say, how do you know that? Well, individually, this is true. Notice Romans 1, verse 26. Romans 1, verse 26. These are people that have rejected the truth of God's word. And notice what it says in Romans 1, verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, this is referring to the LGBT, right? Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You say, Brother Stuckey, how do you know that gay people are not born gay? Because it says they leave the natural use of the woman, indicating there's something that's natural that's built into us. Right. Men are attracted to women. Women are attracted to men. Right? That's the way it works. And the only way that changes is if somebody becomes wicked and then all of a sudden they hate God and then they get filled with these lustful and disgusting desires that normal people don't have an interest in. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. They hate the God of the Bible. They hate the God of the Bible, and they get filled with these lustful desires, and then they're done, the Bible says. Now look, some of these people that are haters of God, they might say they believe in God, but they hate the actual God.
Right.
They hate the God of the Bible, okay? Because many of these people are Hindus, Buddhists, Christians, Catholic priests, right? But they hate the actual God of the Bible. They hate the rules of the Bible. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. When I think of inventors of evil things, I think of the Dark Ages as the Catholic Church brutally murdered tens of millions of people. And when you look at the methods they use, you literally couldn't even imagine those things. You'd have to invent that. It's so wicked. It's just disgusting, gruesome sort of things to kill people. Why? Well, they're inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, meaning they can't be soothed, you can't meet them halfway. You legalize gay marriage, and then they're going to want more and whatever. Unmerciful. When I see unmerciful, I just immediately think of little children that are being molested by these perverts, and they have no mercy. By children that are begging out for mercy, they have no mercy. Why don't they have any mercy? They don't have a conscience. They don't feel guilty about doing anything. You say, how do they become like that? Because God didn't create them that way. I mean, they're created normal. You know, they believe in God and everything. But basically, they hear what God says, and they don't like the rules, and they become worse and worse, and they eventually become a reprobate. They become a homo, and you keep going down, and eventually you reach the vice pongy level. You say, how does someone get that far? I don't even know how someone gets that far. But you go down far enough, and you become worse and worse and worse and worse, and then whatever, right? These wicked people that are these pedophiles, this is what the Bible teaches. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, so they know what God says. They know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So what that teaches at the end of verse 32, they not only do these things, they take pleasure when other people become like them. They want this world to be filled with a bunch of homos. They take pleasure when sin is being committed. Why? They hate the God of the Bible. If somebody gets drunk, they love it. Somebody's fornicating, they love it. They take pleasure in people living a wicked life. Why? Well, they want to justify their own wicked life. Right. It's just like, for example, if you quit drinking and your friends are still drinking and they get mad at you, even if you don't say anything. Just for the fact that you're not drinking with them, they get mad at you. Why? Well, they want to justify their own life. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now, from a logical standpoint, we're seeing a rise in this taking place because what happens also is kids get molested at a young age and they end up basically being mad at God. And they can sometimes blame God even though it's not God's fault. And unfortunately, in the world we live in, very rarely does the death penalty actually ever happen. If a kid gets molested, the person doesn't get put to death. I mean, in the U.S., they go to jail for like 5 years and then they're out. They molested 20 people. They're out of jail after 5 years. They do it again. They go back to jail for 7 years. And they do it again until the day they die. It's like, well, you know what? If you just put them to death, that would end the cycle of that taking place. But many people that become homos, they'll say, well, they got molested and then they ended up becoming a homo. What happens is they get mad at God and then all of a sudden they end up hating God. Even though it's not God's fault, the problem is society is not following the rules of the Bible. It's like God has a death penalty for a reason. But the world's not actually following that, and then this is what takes place. And look, I praise the Lord that this has never happened to me, but you know, many people have been molested before. And obviously it's not something people want to be open about. I'm sure there's been people at our church that happened when you're young. And the reality is, if a child gets molested in the Catholic Church, which is very common, some of them end up hating God. Now, they do still have free will, though, because some of them don't end up blaming God. But unfortunately, many of them do blame God because of what happened, and then they go down the same road, and we're seeing this increase. And you know what? The governments aren't helping putting a stop to this by actually giving the death penalty when appropriate. Individually, people are going to get worse and worse. We're seeing a rise in homos. We're seeing a rise in atheists. But the world is also going to get worse until the end. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And God says, I've got to start over because everybody's just filled full of wickedness, the world has become evil, and God destroys the world. God's pattern, he destroys the world when it becomes really wicked. We see that with Noah. It's the days of Noah, as it talks about during the end times. Go to Genesis 19. This is God's pattern. This world is going to get worse and worse and worse. And you know what? Then Jesus will end up returning after we go through tribulation and all those things. But the world is going to get worse and worse to that point. Now look, I'm not preaching an end time sermon. I don't personally think Jesus is coming back in my life, but are we seeing the world getting worse and worse and worse very rapidly? No question about it. Genesis chapter 19, Genesis 19 verse 9, and they said, stand back, and they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the men, man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to shut to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. So it says small and great, and that indicates there are young or small, because Because it said old and young, small and great, young homosexuals, young molesters. Why? Well, this is what's happening in the society, and they become like that oftentimes. But it says that they're smote with blindness, okay? Now look, if somebody smites you with blindness, wouldn't you just kind of run the other way or try to get out of there or whatever? Right? I mean, if somebody just, you know, attacks you and hurts you, you're probably going to try to flee, right? They smite you with blindness. Well, what do these people do? Then it says this, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So they want to molest these people. They get struck with blindness. Instead of leaving, they're trying to find the door because they still want to molest them. What in the world is wrong with these people? It's like now they're struggling, they're wearying themselves, tiring themselves, just trying to find the door so they can still molest them. They're animals.
Right.
Literally, they're animals.
Right.
It's like, that's why the Bible says dogs, brute beasts. I mean, these people are like animals. Like, they have no conscience. It's like they're insane. Like, what are they doing? But see, this is the world that we are, unfortunately, coming to. And I'll tell you what, there's been a big change in 20 years in my life. I can't even imagine. I feel bad for my kids. Like, what kind of a world are they going to end up growing up in? I have no idea. It's crazy. It's a scary world. Turn your Bible to James 2. James 2. And I'll skip some stuff for sake of time, but the Bible also says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And that is the world that we're coming to. And look, praise the Lord that right now we're able to do soul winning marathons and get lots of people saved and there's not much persecution. But in our lifetime, we're probably going to have major persecution in this country, I believe. It's not something that we have right now, and we're not the first country that's going to get that major persecution. But I do believe in our lifetime, it's going to be very difficult to become a Christian. You say, Brother Stuckey, the last year and a half has been really hard. Well, you better prepare yourself. Because it could get really hard to actually serve God one day. Right now, I mean, there's not that many problems serving God. We're able to freely preach the gospel. I mean, but if you lived in communist China, you're not doing soul-winning marathons. You're getting arrested if you start preaching the gospel, right? You live in these Muslim countries. That's the world we're going to come to because we're going to be enemy number one. We're going to be considered, you know, you guys are full of hate. Hate speech, right? You hate preachers. Such a hateful message that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and he wants you to go to heaven. He loves you if you just believe on him. That's such a hateful message, right? But that's what they're going to say about us. This is very hate. Why? Because they don't like rules. That's reality. What are our points? Well, point one was atheism is not logical. Point two, the Bible is logical. Point three, these people, they want to reject God. Point four, the world's going to get worse and worse. But I want to kind of end with James 2, verse 19, because here's the thing. None of us are going to become atheists. If you're saved, this is not possible to happen to you. If you have the spirit of truth inside of you, you're never going to become a reprobate. You don't go from a child of God to a child of the devil. This is not going to happen to you. But what's the application for us, though? Because the thing about atheists is this. They don't want to have any rules to obey. They don't want to be told what to do. But what does it say in James 2, verse 19? Thou believest that there is one God, the devil, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. Now, I understand James 2, there's a lot of different opinions and stuff. Let me just quickly explain this verse. But the Bible says, thou believest that there is one God, and it likens it to the devils which believe, but they tremble. Now, here's the thing. The truth is, the devils, they know who the true God is. But the devils, angels, are not judged based on what they believe. They're judged based on their actions. Why is the devil going to be cast into hell for all eternity? Because he chose to rebel against God. Why are one-third of the angels going to be cast to hell? Because of the fact they chose to rebel. They believe in the true God. They understand who the true God is, and they tremble because they're afraid. And what it's trying to say here is this. Even the devils tremble at the judgment of God. How much more should we? Because the Bible talks about angels desiring to look into the things. You know, they don't fully understand all this stuff. But us as Bible-believing Christians with the spirit of truth inside of us, we ought to tremble at the judgment of God in this life if we disobey God. That's what it's saying in James 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Well, good job. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Guess what? We should tremble at the judgment of God in this life because we do have a God that has a set of rules that he expects us to follow.
Right.
And when you believe in the true God, you ought to tremble at that judgment. Because look, judgment must start at the house of God, the Bible says. And look, this world is getting worse and worse, but you know, it's not really because of the atheists or the homos, it's because of Bible-believing Christians. I mean, look, if every church that was right on salvation was preaching the gospel as much as us and preaching sermons like this, this world would never come to this point. But that's not what's happening at churches. You go to churches today, they don't preach anything. They literally preach nothing. They preach one verse, two verses, 45 minutes of stories. I don't even know how they do that. That's a talent that I do not have, right? I stand up here for an hour and a half because I got a lot of Bible to preach. But they literally get up there and they preach nothing, and churches are just filled full of sin. They don't even try to live for God.
Right.
And we wonder why the world is like this. Well, it's because of this, because of the Christians. Because the Christians are lame. They're lazy in today's world. But you know what? Us at Verity Baptist Church, that's not our situation. We know what the Bible says. And you know what? God will judge his people. We're expected to obey what God says. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to see your word on this topic of atheism. And help us to understand the distinction between there are those that are just not sure who the true God is and they're confused about some of these things. But then there's others that hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hate the God of the Bible. They don't like rules. They don't like being told no. And those are people that are reprobates. Those are people that hate you, that are never going to get saved. Help us as we run into people like this door to door, you know, people that are atheists, to try to preach the gospel if they're willing to listen. But if there are people that just want to argue with us because they're bad people, let us not waste our time arguing about the truth of the Bible and the truth of Christianity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.